everyone. Welcome to the Flight Test Podcast. That's something that I haven't said in a while.
It's been a minute.
It's been a hot minute. This is podcast episode 92, I think.
Yep.
And it's me, Austin Fury.
And my name is Alex Zavada.
And we are bringing you a True Blue Flight Test Podcast.
Yep.
So there's two things I think I should probably start off with off the top. Is first, I want to thank the After Hours crew for keeping the podcast chugging along. And also say that we're sorry for not doing a podcast for a really long time. I was just talking to Alex a little earlier that I was going through a lot of the voicemails. Now, we deliberately haven't done voicemails for a while on the show just because for some of the stuff that we were doing that was more like interview format, it just wasn't fitting quite right to do the voicemails. But we are actually going to get back to voicemails.
Yes.
We're going to take some today. And we have Periscope here locked and loaded, ready to go. So if you aren't following us on Periscope at Flight Test, you should do that.
And on Instagram, too.
Yeah. And on, you know, Twitter.
While we're at it.
Anywhere you want to follow us, we're probably there. So, but yeah, if you guys want like a little bit of a break in your day where you can listen to us ramble on Periscope, it'll be the same content you'll be getting through the podcast. You'll just get a little bit early, and you'll also be able to talk to us, ask questions, etc.
Yes.
So, Alex, why haven't we done a podcast in so long?
Well, the reason is, luckily, is a lot of really good things have been happening. And I could get into details, but I think it's probably a wise idea to wait, because we actually have some of those voicemails today that we're going to be going through, and I have a feeling that some people are going to be asking that same question.
Wow, you had actual reasons. I was expecting to say, there's no reason.
So you haven't been doing anything?
No, nothing at all.
Nothing at all?
Not been up to anything.
Yeah, okay.
Well, and one thing I didn't want this podcast to be was like a bunch of excuses why we haven't podcasted in a long time. Because really, I mean, you just in life in general, you have time for what you make time for.
Yep, and so we need. So it's definitely on us. Granted, it's our fault. But that being said, there has been other things that have been going on.
Yes. I'm not saying that we haven't been busy, because we have been incredibly busy. But
yeah, Austin, I know you've been busy telling me what to do.
So. Alex has been doing a stupendous job working on like so many things at once.
Lots of things, yes.
But mainly stuff that Alex has been working on is the FT STEM and FT groups.
I just work on the design stuff. You're the one who's been working on the big grand picture.
Well, design's important.
Yes.
It's very important. And so, yeah, that's something that's coming along. And actually, both of those websites you can actually go to.
But I wouldn't recommend it because they're not finalized yet.
Well, we're getting pretty finalized.
Getting close.
Yeah, FT Groups is lagging a little bit behind, but FT STEM is very, very, very close to launch. Mm-hmm. We got a lot of the product in that we were waiting on to actually make that a functional program. So before too long, you'll see some, if you're subscribed to our newsletter, you're going to see some email blasts that tell much more about it. For people that don't know what FT STEM is, it's essentially a STEM curriculum that's going out to hopefully thousands of schools in the very near future. So basically people in schools are going to be putting flight tests in their classroom.
Yep, which I wish I would have had when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Basically, STEM stands for what? Science, technology, engineering, and math.
So, I have no idea. No, I'm kidding. I do know that. I was just kidding.
So basically, we're going to use the hobby specifically like our style of hobby, which is DIY, scratch building, common materials, and using that portion of the hobby to teach kids about all those different categories, which is pretty awesome, because when I was in school, it was just kind of like put your nose in a book and remember stuff for a test.
And I don't want to labor on too much about, you know, something that perhaps maybe you're not interested in STEM curriculum because you don't have kids or you're not an educator or whatnot, but it is a program that we're super excited about. Some people that if you follow our articles and some of our user-contributed videos on our site, you're probably familiar with Mesa RC. Jake Marshall, who heads up that program in Colorado, Mesa RC, he's actually been developing this FT STEM curriculum for a little over a year.
Yes.
And so he's been putting, you know, his blood, sweat, and tears into that curriculum. And we have some, you know, some brilliant front and back end designers that are, you know, building a whole system from scratch, because this isn't just a curriculum that we're giving to people. This is an entire web ecosystem.
Yes.
That allows people to participate in essentially flight test activities through an engineering and design model lens. Mm-hmm. And so kids are basically going to be working through aviation and flight related problems together and with their teacher and with each other, and learning about flight, learning how to design planes, learning how to fly planes, learning how to build planes. And not just planes, by the time you get to high school, there's also multi-rotors that are involved in the mm-hmm. curriculum. Right now, Jake is actually working on the high school curriculum. So that'll be a companion to that. So eventually, if you're going through the K through three or the 4 through 6 or the middle school program, there will also be a high school program available.
And we should mention, too, that Jake Marshall is not only developing the curriculum, but while he's doing that, he's also practicing what he preaches, and he's still a full-time teacher. Actually, the curriculum is based off something he's been doing for years with the Mesa RC Foam Fighters. If you guys haven't seen what Jake does with his kids over there, check it out. Check out their website, Mesa RC Foam Fighters. It's really pretty amazing what they do.
And this won't mean a whole lot to you if you're not listening Friday, October 30th, or if you're listening sometime in the future, but actually today is kind of a big day because Jake is actually putting his whole class into the online system. So what he's
FT
done,
STEM
FT, system. The whole FT STEM. So what he's been doing on pen and paper for a very long time is now going to become, you know, the rock star program that we've made for it. So
he's essentially the first beta tester.
You could say that.
and the developer.
Yeah. But I don't want to go on too much about that. If you guys want more information on that, you can go to ftstem.com. And if you sign up for our newsletter, I'm actually going to be putting out an e-blast here before too long. That's actually going to be a subscription porthole to another email list. So we're not constantly bothering people that don't really care about a STEM program. And so if you subscribe to our newsletter on our website, I think it's flighttest.com/newsletter, I think. Mm-hmm. You'll have the ability to jump over to that STEM list, and we'll give you all the info you want to know. So, but anyway, thanks for humoring us. That's kind of some of the things that we've been working on.
Well, that's just you and I.
First,
we've been working together on that kind of, but, other things that are going on, you may have seen, we just posted on Facebook today. We are in the process of moving. Actually, manufacturing is pretty much already, we've moved it out of the house or out of our shop, pretty much because we couldn't contain it anymore. You guys have driven this to a point that we had never expected, and that part of the business has grown so much that we needed more space. Unfortunately, our parent company, Lauren International, which is located south of us in New Philadelphia, it's about 35 minutes away from the shop, they had a 30,000 square foot, is that what it was?
Well, yeah, actually the actual line that flight test products are going to be made on is pretty much doubles the square footage we have here. So it's about 6,000 square feet.
That's awesome.
And then, you know, it's expandable to that whole facility. And so, you know, they'll move things around as needed, but, you know, we have up to 30,000 square feet available there to us.
So yeah, we're moving manufacturing and shipping down there. We're keeping it local. Could have easily been outsourced, but we didn't want to do that. We wanted to keep it local and keep, you know, the people that we know and trust, you know, working on that. And speaking of which, there's actually a position, I believe we're doing shipping currently,
mm-hmm.
and potentially manufacturing positions in the future. But if you go to laureninternational.com, that's our parent company's website.
There's /careers.
/careers, yeah. There's some job listings there. So if you're in the, you know, kind of central Ohio area, New Philadelphia area, check it out.
If you want to make flight test planes.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a pretty exciting time for us. So if you're watching on Periscope, which we'll be starting here in a moment, you're going to see that we're in a broom closet once again.
We're in a dark, dark corner of the FT shop. And speaking of which, since the manufacturing and shipping is leaving, it's going to open up a whole lot of space for us, which is going to buy us a little bit more time here at this space, that we're going to be able to spread out a little bit, not be so cramped. Peter's going to have more room to do crazy projects. We'll have more room to shoot, you know, the studio indoor shots for the episodes and stuff like that. So lots of good things to come. And hopefully a nice, dedicated podcast space, because as of right now, we are sitting in a very dark and depressing room.
Well, for anybody that's been to our shop or seen like a tour of our shop recently, shipping and manufacturing actually pretty much took over the whole
90% of the building.
It took over the bathrooms. It took over the offices. It was just this beast that could not be contained, which is a great problem to have.
Yeah.
We were just running out of room. And so now the 3,000 square foot we have here in our office actually just about everybody that's participated in flight tests so far is going to be staying here at this office.
Yep.
We're just going to be moving shipping and manufacturing to a different location. So it's going to open up a lot of room for activities, as they say.
Yeah, exciting stuff.
Cool. Well, one thing we did want to get back into a little bit is taking some voicemail questions. So I think you can expect from, you know, the Flight Test Podcast to have more interviews. Mm-hmm. We really kind of enjoyed having people on the podcast that were a lot more knowledgeable in certain topics than we were. And so it's really nice to have somebody that's an expert in something. You can just pick their brain. That makes for pretty easy podcasting. So I think you can expect more of that. But also, I think we're going to do just kind of more of these like community type style podcasts where we answer some questions. We kind of talk about what's going on lately. We talk about what you guys want to talk about. So if you would like to leave us a voicemail, now that we will be weekly, if not daily, checking that, you can go to speakpipe.com/flight test and leave us a voicemail. Let's get back in this voicemail ball game.
Yep. So, let's do this.
All right. So we're going to go ahead and play our first voicemail.
Flight test. This is Patrick Healy from Amherst, Massachusetts. Maybe that's too much information. I don't know. What was I going to say? Podcast. I was just calling yesterday. I was really sad. I was moping about how there's no podcast. I think you should do a podcast about why you don't have time to do a podcast. In other words, grab the H4N, run around the shop, and just interview people. Hey, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? Why aren't you podcasting? And then they can tell you, and you can go to the next person. And you can just talk to everybody at Flight Test HQ. Wouldn't that be cool? But then you'd have to do something. I assume you're busy, too. So I don't know how that would be handled exactly. But, yeah, that was my idea. I think it's pretty good, actually, if I do say so myself. I think it should be given top priority. Take it right to the top. Take it. I guess you are the... I don't know. Never mind. But there you go. Okay, love you, bye.
Easily my favorite voicemail of all time now.
That was great. And actually a great idea, too.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, yeah, it's not bad. That's kind of what we just did, really. Yeah.
kind of, but we haven't heard from Josh or Peter or a lot of the other guys. I have a feeling, and the reason why it's just you and I today is because a lot of times we have trouble getting the whole crew together.
Wrangling is a troublesome thing around
and
here.
And it's not always just because they're busy doing something else. It's because they just aren't here. And
we, yeah. Well, is what some people, you know, first of all, some people have struggled to, you know, understand that we actually do this full time.
Yeah.
And then even, you know, when we're trying to describe to, you know, the barber, you know, what Flight Test is or what you do for a living, it's even harder to understand that it's actually a national business. And then you take it a little bit further, it's even harder to understand that it's an international business. So even though we're, you know, a small staff of 10 people or so, this place is a pretty revolving door. There's a lot of people that now, you know, we're needing to go places more and actually meet people more. And so, which we love doing, it just means that not everybody is around all the time.
Yep. Again, more good problems that we have. We have a lot of those. But yeah, and we're all equally as guilty. Everybody's in and out of the shop. And a lot of times, there's more people in the shop that aren't employees than there are employees.
Yeah.
So sometimes we're, you know, entertaining guests, and it's always interesting, to say the least.
Well, I have to say, Alex, I've enjoyed this so far.
Yeah, it's been, you know, nice.
Just a couple of guys podcasting. Nice. Well, and actually, this isn't a bad way to do it. I think that it's like going to be a lot easier to make the podcast more regular if it's kind of a revolving cast. You know, maybe sometimes it might be, you know, me and Peter in here, or sometimes it might be Josh and you in here, or, you know, whatever combination of people that are available. You know, we want to get this out on a weekly or bi-weekly basis.
And I found too, and ever since, I remember when we first started the podcast, you came to, at the time it was Chad and Josh and myself, and we're like, hey, we should start this podcast. And most of us were all kind of like, what's a podcast?
And why?
But I have to give you credit, because ever since, I literally have listened to nothing but podcasts. And let me tell you, I'm a musician, and I love music, and I still listen to music. But when I'm in the car, it's straight podcasts. And most of the podcasts that I listen to are normally at least one-on-one, sometimes maybe a third person.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's just one.
Sometimes it's just one, yeah. And I found that the really interesting conversation that you actually take away something from normally comes from less people. When there's more people, it's sometimes entertaining and fun to listen to, but a lot of times it's just like, I don't know, kind of like some of our previous podcasts where we get sidetracked and talk about just randomness.
Well, that
which is good as well in its own right, but
yeah, that's also fun. But I mean, it's also it's hard to sometimes it's hard to get a word in edgewise, mm-hmm. and so if it's a lot of people, sometimes you're not even really listening to what's being said because you're kind of focusing on the thing that you need to say or want to say, and so it can just be not quite as pleasant to listen to. But
yes.
Well, we'll see. We're, hey, the big thing is we're getting a podcast out.
But anyway, yeah. But anyways, to answer the last question, love the idea. And I think maybe we'll eventually take you up on that. If not on a podcast, maybe on Periscope. We can go around and be like, Peter, why are you not podcasting right now? And he'll be like, well, I'm making this new mini Corsair. Or should I say that yet?
Too late.
Actually, we already Periscoped it today.
Cat's out of the bag.
But yeah, Peter's working on a lot of great stuff, actually, as we speak, so...
Well, speaking of Periscope, we're actually going to press the start broadcast button. So,
and while people join, we'll go ahead and play this next voicemail.
There you go.
Hi, Flight Test. Love the channel, great content, and I love the podcast. Also, what day do the podcasts come out on so I can expect them? Love the channel. The challenges could go a little bit more in depth about the actual changes, but they're really fun to watch anyway. The quad racing is really amazing, and I love to watch Alex, and I really wish David was back here to watch as well, although his videos on RC Explorer are really cool, too.
Cool.
I think there's more.
About the Ardu Pilot.
So we'll take that first part.
Yeah. And then we'll go back. But yeah, thanks, man. That's very kind words. Actually, speaking of David, I've actually been in contact with him. Him and I keep in touch pretty regularly, and he is doing very, very well over in Sweden. Him and his wife are doing well. They both work full time RC Explorer. So
yeah.
For all you guys that are supporting David out there, it's definitely making his dream come true. So it's been really awesome for him. And thanks for the kind words on the flying, but I have to say, if you haven't seen some of the pilots out there, I've kind of fallen behind, which is okay. There's guys out there that are really pushing the limits these days. So, but thanks again.
Well, speaking of that, fun fact, we're going to F3 Expo.
Yes.
That is coming up here November 12th to the 15th.
Oh, yeah, F3 Expo. You know, the giant worldwide expo that you signed me up to race against the best pilots in the world.
I was talking to the people or whatever that are putting on the show, and I was like, they're like, by the way, they're like, do you have any professional pilots that you want to sign up? I was like, yes, we do.
I don't know if you call me that.
We do have professional pilots we would like to enlist. So yeah, Alex drew the short straw on that one.
But since then, I've been talking with Chris Brand, who's kind of heading up a lot of the racing at the expo. If you guys are in the Atlanta, what's the dates?
The 12th to the 15th, November.
12th through the 15th of next month. It's going to be a really cool expo, a lot of racing. But I've been talking to Chris Brand, who's heading up the racing. We're actually going to be doing one of the racing events. I believe it's on the Friday. It's called Thunder Drone, and it looks really, really cool. First off, the expo's in the Atlanta. What's the dome called?
I think it's the Atlanta Falcon Stadium.
The Atlanta Falcon Stadium. It's a big, huge indoor sports complex, and they're actually going to let us fly. So. The seats that are on the field, there's like, you know, a red oval, just like you'd imagine a football stadium. And you actually race NASCAR style around over the red seats. And it's a team event, teams of 2 to 5 people. And you race 100 laps. It's like I don't know if it's a relay race or if you just switch batteries or how that exactly works. I'm assuming it's a relay race.
We really have no idea.
But but after Austin signed me up for the individual races without telling me, I took it upon myself to sign the whole Flight Test team up for the team race. So Josh, myself, Peter, and whoever else, we're going to be racing in the 100 lap Thunder Drone race, which is going to be interesting.
I've never even heard of that before.
Me neither. Quads. I think it's the first time. Yeah. I think it's the first time. So they're really boasting this event to be super big, the biggest event of that type on the East Coast. So I'm looking forward to seeing how it turns out, and also looking forward to meeting a lot of the cool personalities that are going to be there. A lot of my favorite pilots are going to be there, which is cool.
Well, since we have Periscope here online. Let's take a couple Periscope questions before we dive into the next voicemail.
Yep. So, talking to you guys. You guys have any questions on there on Periscope?
We're now officially talking to you guys.
And if you guys are following us on Periscope, I apologize if you're trying to work during the day and we keep bothering you, yeah. Ringing in your pocket.
Yep. Just
any word on airliners? Actually, Peter mentioned to me yesterday. He's currently working on a Warbird. I won't name the Warbird, but it's an inverted gull wing. It was a World War II Warbird, and we're thinking about calling it the FT4U. But anyways, yesterday he mentioned making a Learjet, and Peter's always been a fan of civil aviation, specifically airliners and transport vehicles. So I'm assuming you can see a lot of that from Peter coming in the future. So Horizon Indoor next week. I think there is going to be some of us going. We're keeping it really low key. Horizon Indoor, for those of you who don't know, is an event down in Columbus. It's one of our favorites. It's actually where I met Josh and Chad and Josh Scott for the first time years ago. It's basically in a big, huge inflatable golf dome. It looks like a giant pillow. But you go inside and you fly around, and it's real laid back, indoor, park flyer, foamies, that kind of stuff. And we are going to be going. It's going to be low-key. I don't think we're going to have a store. If we do have a store, it's going to be very limited.
Yeah.
Small items, maybe some shirts
some and stuff. Some apparel or something. But.
But we're just going to have a good time. And hopefully if you're there, we'll get to fly with you, crash with you, and have a really good time.
We'll take one more question here from Periscope, and then we have some requests to restart the stream. It must be because it's choppy or something.
Yeah, people are dropping out.
The question I saw was VersaCopter clamps.
Good question.
My understanding is that those are supposed to be in today.
Oh.
So hopefully you'll see those on the store early next week.
Have we announced the details on the clamps, all the clamps?
All the clamps. No, well, we have... So for people that aren't aware, for people that are buying the VersaCopter kits, some people were having some really rough crashes and basically warping or breaking the Delrin clamp pieces that were inside of it that are kind of the number one failure point. And so we decided to kind of reassess that part of the design, and we decided to make it so the clamps are more durable, so that actually the carbon fiber boom becomes the failure point.
Yes.
So like these things are brutally tough now.
Mm-hmm.
And to make a carbon fiber boom the failure point, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, those circular carbon fiber booms are nearly indestructible.
We're actually going to release a video on our separate channel, our FT Live channel, and we did all kinds of nasty things to the VersaCopter frame. We duct taped a bunch of weight to it.
Yeah.
And then just flung it against concrete, ran it into poles.
Well, actually, we weighed my VersaCopter with a GoPro battery, FPV gear all on it, and then we weighed down an empty frame with a bunch of old batteries to weigh a quarter pound more than what my VersaCopter frame all that flying weight was, and then we went and proceeded to throw it into metal poles and brick walls and skip it across the ground.
We did some terrible things.
Throw it in the air. All kinds of different stuff, and it's holding up really well. So the one that you're going to be seeing first is going to be G10 parts for the VersaCopter, and that's the one that we are actually testing. And
which was incredibly tough.
I have some prototypes on mine right now, and I've crashed multiple times. So.
And then we have an even further upgrade kit coming that is going to be really, really cool. It's going to be, I'm not even sure if I'm supposed to talk about it yet, but...
Yeah. It's going to be even cooler than the G10.
It's going to be cool, and it's going to be an aesthetic upgrade.
Yes.
And durability upgrades. It's going to be even stronger than the G10, and I think it looks awesome.
So. Yeah, it's kind of a new chapter of our product design. This is something that we designed with the help of a couple colleagues at our parent company, and it's unlike anything, kind of like the Tough Tilt was. We brought it to a new level with the Tough Tilt and making that. And this is even a whole new type of manufacturing. So it's super exciting, new chapter.
Well, I mean, it's the evolution of the VersaCopter.
Yep.
You know, it's meant to be changed.
And so. it's all from you guys and your good feedback. We crashed and we did break some pieces, but it's very apparent that we don't crash nearly as hard as some of you guys do, because sure. We heard some crazy stories about people breaking tons of parts And we got a lot of really good feedback about what people think would work well, and we've acted as quickly as possible on that. And hopefully the G10 stuff will be here in the next week or so.
Roger that.
Well, we're going to stop the Periscope broadcast since it looks like some people are having some trouble, and we'll be back.
We'll play a couple of voicemails, and then we'll start another Periscope. So let's see.
Sounds like a plan.
Here we got a voicemail from Robert Livermore.
Aloha. My name is Robert Livermore. I live in Maui. We've recently been trying to make fake smoke come out of our planes. We've been rigging containers with cornstarch with a straw going in for ventilation with holes coming out the back end. I did try to rig a servo on the bottom of one of my planes to turn it on and off. Thought maybe you guys might want to get into this and try to figure out a way to be more creative with it than we have, but it's pretty cool. We've been flying with our Park Zone P-51s and having smoke streams coming off the back end for, you know, 2-3 minutes before the cornstarch runs out. But I thought you might be able to take it a little farther than we have. Good luck with it. Please, I'd like to see you guys do more trial and error stuff on your YouTube episodes. Hope everything's great. Mahalo.
Mahalo.
Thanks, Robert, for that voicemail. It's actually funny that he mentions that because Josh and Peter have been talking about that a lot lately.
Yeah.
Is doing an episode on DIY smoke system for your airplanes.
Yeah, and I know Peter. Peter is a pyromaniac, for those of you who are new and don't know that already. but yeah, he's absolutely crazy. And actually, he's told me about times in the past where he's made kind of DIY smoke systems like that, as well as various other DIY combustible things. And unfortunately, I don't remember the exact chemicals or whatever ingredients he was using.
Not that we would disclose them.
Yeah. But we'll definitely relay this voicemail to Josh and Peter and
tell them that people are talking about it.
Yeah, add it to our list of ideas. All right, let's move on to the next one.
Hello. This is a question about scratch building. Here in Europe, we struggle getting materials for planes. I was wondering if you could point us in a good direction for this current moment. I have tried other foam boards from Amazon and local shops. However, it is just very inconvenient to work with and expensive. Also, I have tried things like polystyrene or styrofoam, but I also just don't know what to do when I mess it up. Also, I was wondering whether Flight Test will come to Great Britain for a trip. Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, that's a question we get a lot, and it's really Flight Test Foam, or Adams Ready Board, as it's also known. It's a funny little foam.
Yes.
There's not really a whole lot out there that's like it. I do have to say searching our forums is a good idea, and also searching our articles, because there's people that have done awesome summaries of what works and what doesn't and how to do it affordably.
Yeah.
That's short term, and actually, I'm not even sure if long-term is the right word for it because, you know, we're looking as soon as, you know, possibly February, being able to ship worldwide.
Yes.
All kinds of fun stuff. So there'll be more on that later. And I know that we've been saying that for a long time, but
it's kind of a big job and it's a lot of processes.
Well, and we've been very thorough. Yes. Because, you know, part of this big move to Lauren Manufacturing is to be, you know, manufacture in bulk our kits, be able to, you know, sell them to schools and be able to sell them to groups. But they also, a big part of that is being able to have the capacity to ship in bulk across the pond.
Yeah.
And so we're definitely, I know it doesn't seem like it sometimes, but we are making great progress, and kind of one of the last pieces of that is kind of falling into place now. So definitely look for that soon, but meanwhile, check out the forums and search for articles on, you know, European foam board.
Yeah, trust me, there's plenty of people who are having the same struggle as you. But thank you so much for the question. Let's move on here to Tom Velvic.
Cool. Hello from the UK. I've been an avid Flight Test fan, I suppose, for about 2.5 years now. Your show has been a great source of information and help to me in the years I have been flying. I'm sure if Flight Test didn't exist, I would have blown up a lot more ESCs by now. I think your show and what you're doing for the RC community is absolutely fantastic. Now, I was thinking, you know those bottle rockets a lot of people do, where you get like an empty 2-litre Coke bottle, You then put some water in it, connect up to a bike pump, and then send it flying in the air. But what if you used one of those Coke bottles, maybe a glider fuselage, and built a body round, or a plane round it, then fired it up and see if you could be piloted back down? I think that'd be quite an interesting project. I suppose it's a bit crazy, but could be interesting. Another thing is, I'm sure you've probably heard this quite a lot, but I think it'd be really cool if you could come over to the UK, maybe come to some events there as a vendor, or just come along. I think a lot of people would be very excited to meet you and talk, myself included. But I think it'd be great if you could come over, maybe for BMFA Nationals, that's a big event. But yeah, I think you're doing really good for the community, and thank you for what you've done.
Thanks, Tom. Really appreciate that.
That was two people asking those over the pond, and trust me,
that was two in a row, actually.
I'd love to go to the UK, and hopefully one day we'll have that opportunity. I know there's a lot of avid modelists over there.
Yeah, we definitely plan to, and in most places, you know, that we talk about like that, we say, yeah, eventually. We do plan to. But to answer your question, Tom, actually, that's something that Josh used to do a lot of. Actually, he's made more than one, I think, Mountain Dew planes that are out of a 2-liter Mountain Dew bottle.
Yeah, but I think Josh would just use it as a plane fuselage.
Yeah, which he suggested, but I think he was suggesting a little bit of an additional element to
which
it.
Which is the rocket, which I really like.
Yeah.
It would be a challenge, and I would imagine the CG would be the most challenging part, but...
Josh needs to revisit the Mountain Dew bottle plane.
Yeah, great idea. I just took it down on a notepad. So
gonna... wow, that's official. It's on the notepad.
I don't do that often.
That's more than most people get. Before we play another one, Alex, let's talk to some Periscope people here real quick. See if our broadcast is working any better.
Cool.
Or actually, we can take one more while we're waiting for the people to join.
Are you on Wi-Fi or your cell signal?
Hey,
I don't know.
I was just wondering, what happened to playing voicemails on the podcast? Been like 12 weeks since your last voicemail.
A lot longer than that.
Thanks.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks, Caden. Yeah, it's been a while.
Yes, we know. And we're terribly sorry. It's totally on us. We have been busy, but at the same time, that's no excuse. So here we are, and there's your voicemail. And
yeah,
keep them coming, man, because we're gonna make it a point to make this a regular thing.
Yeah.
So anyways, we're back up on Periscope, and people are already saying that it's laggy.
Laggy already.
Laggy still? Come on.
Yeah, here's your lag test.
Anybody have any questions?
Ooh. Yeah, maybe Periscope's just not meant to be today.
Yep, we are going to JR.
Horizon. Review the Vortex. Actually, I just talked to one of our good friends over at Immersion, and actually they're working on a Vortex version 2. And so apparently they're making a lot of good progress with that. And so we're excited to try it. I think we're going to try to meet up with them at F3 Expo.
Yep.
And so we're possibly going to be flying Vortex version 2. We kind of missed the boat on the first one. I told him we feel silly that we haven't reviewed it yet. It just never quite... it's a wild something stomping through the...
Yeah. We should mention we're currently in the closet warehouse...
Storage room
of the shop. So we have a lot office. Of passerbys.
Yeah,
Jim and Stefan.
Hopefully not too many more. But you know what? You know, we're going to have that podcast studio in like 2 weeks.
So next question: can I have a large T-shirt? Unfortunately, no, because I don't have your address. They left Max in here.
Max, get out of here.
The other question I saw is: what are your thoughts on the Lily drone? Which is it's a good question. For those of you who don't know what the Lily drone is, I'm pretty sure...
It's a terrible idea.
From what I've seen, it's some kind of crazy autonomous little ready-to-fly little camera drone that has features like Follow Me. And you literally, they have a really like fancy product video for it where they just like throw it, you know, up in the air and it automatically levels itself and then chases a guy snowboarding down a mountain. And it's waterproof, and it does all these crazy things. The camera looks like it's internal, though the footage looks like it's gimbaled. And was it crowdfunded?
Yeah, it was actually a highly regarded Kickstarter campaign. I forget when their delivery date is. I think it's still a while.
Yeah, my cousin actually has one pre-ordered, and it's going to be his first drone. So I'm really, really looking forward to his what his experience is with it.
Here's my thing with the delay is that I didn't necessarily mean it's a terrible idea, but it could be. And the biggest problem that I see with the Lily drone is that it's in their promo video, it's people throwing it up in the air,
yeah,
and then it's sensing that it's being thrown in the air and therefore starting its four propellers.
Yeah.
And
looks
like
a little questionable.
That's like a very questionable practice, you know, for flying anything that has spinning blades. As we,
yeah,
if you've done any kind of Googling whatsoever, you'll know that quadcopter can hurt you.
Yeah, I know from experience.
Yeah, Alex knows.
I think they even show an elderly grandma with two hands tossing it up into the air and then it leveling off and filming the grandma.
There's a guy throwing it off a bridge and it raises back up.
Yep.
I'm very skeptical, and I'm very skeptical of any Kickstarter multi-rotor related project, just because the tendency on Kickstarter is to way overpromise.
Yes.
And I know that temptation, you know, to overpromise, because they may not even know that they're overpromising. It may not be an intentional thing.
Yeah.
But when you say, anytime you're promising technology that doesn't exist yet and you're hoping to develop it, sometimes money's not the fix there. But hey, I wish them the best of luck, but I'm cautious on any Kickstarter project that it is making big promises in the drone industry.
Yes. Phone drone looks legit. I haven't seen that yet.
Oh, yeah. That was on Shark Tank.
Oh, really?
Yeah, actually, company got big time funded on Shark Tank. All five sharks bought in for $1.5 million.
Huh.
And it's a Kickstarter project. It's a carbon quad shot, basically.
Huh. Sounds interesting. A lot of people are asking about Peter's VTOL kits. Which were featured in the Explorer/Bronco episode. And we should mention the Bronco actually is on the store now. The Bronco is Peter's take on, kind of his take on the Explorer. It's a twin boom, twin engine, or it can be a single engine pusher. It's real versatile. It comes with a couple different tail sections. But anyways, the VTOL assembly kits for the tricopter VTOL, they are coming down the pipe. I do believe that Peter is still working on finding where to source those parts, because it takes a couple specific specialized little bits that require it to work that he custom made, and we need to figure out a way to buy those in bulk so we can get them to you guys. So it is coming soon. There's not a solid date on that yet.
One nice thing is that VTOL kit, he's also featured on the Guinea as well as the Explorer and Bronco. And Peter's told me that the VTOL mechanism that he's working on, it'll be compatible with pretty much any power pod.
Yeah.
So it'll be fun to see what people do with it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. A lot of people are asking about with the VersaCopter, we introduced the circular carbon fiber booms.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a couple people that are asking if the Tough Tilt, which is our tricopter tilt mechanism, if it'll work on the carbon fiber booms. That's a really good question. It's not specifically designed for circular booms, but I would imagine, and I haven't tried this, but I would imagine with some custom gluing and some custom modding, you could make it work. You basically just need to make sure that it's secured on there pretty well. But the boom is half inch, and the Tough Tilt is designed for half inch square booms, so you could fit it over there. You just want to make sure it's square and then secure it down by whatever means necessary. So.
All right, Periscope friends, thanks for watching. We're going to
temporarily
shut this down. But if you want to hear the rest of this, tune into the podcast. It'll be coming out tomorrow. Thanks, guys.
Okay, let's see what other voicemails. We got all kinds of questions.
You got to listen to both the podcast and the Periscope to get the full experience.
All right.
Yes, I am thinking of getting into the hobby, and I was wondering what is like the cheapest... first airplane so I can try. And a second question is the best simulator. I want to know what's the best simulator so I can try before I buy anything.
It's a good question.
Actually,
it's funny you mentioned that.
Yeah, we've been recently talking about simulators. I guess we could start with one of the other things that Austin and I have been working on together is on flighttest.com, there's a tab called the Get Started page. And originally we designed that to be Get Started with Flight Test. So we're actually redesigning that. So instead, we're going to make an about page for flight tests, and we're going to change that page to getting started in the hobby. And
which is what a lot of people thought it was before they clicked on it.
Yeah, I don't know why what we were thinking when we made that. But anyways, a big portion of that is there's going to be a lot of valuable links and videos and all kinds of resources for people who are new to the hobby. So if you're in the hobby and say you have a friend who comes up to you at, or somebody you don't know comes up to you at the field and say, wow, that's awesome how that plane flies. How do I get one of those, or how do I start? You can say, go to flighttest.com/get-started. And the idea is that everything that they need to know to get started is going to be there, one of which being simulators.
Yeah.
And at this point, the plan is to recommend simulators, but in the near future, we're hoping to...
Next week?
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't know that. We're hoping to sell simulators, and we're not going to be making our own simulator or anything like that. Just simulators that we use, simulators that we believe in and we think are really, really good. We're going to be carrying those on the store. So, and to name a few, there's Real Flight, the newest Real. I mean, all the Real Flights are great. Also, for if you're looking to practice FPV specifically with multi-rotors, there's a real great cheap app called FPV Free Rider. I think it's like $5. And you can actually download a free trial and fly for free. It works with any USB transmitter or game controller. Really, really great simulator. So
I flew for maybe 10 hours on FPV Freerider, not in a row, of course, but just in general. And I have to say it did wonders for my first actual FPV mini quad mm-hmm. experience. I really felt really confident. I had a little bit of that muscle memory. It helps a lot.
Yeah.
So highly recommend that.
And I have to say that the simulators, they are pretty darn realistic, but I think personally, anyways, no matter how realistic they get, there is always a difference between flying a simulator and the real thing. But the biggest thing that it's going to help you with is muscle memory, which is all flying radio controlled stuff is. It's just like playing a guitar or any kind of musical instrument or typing on a keyboard. It's just getting those muscles into the motions and knowing what to do to get your craft to do a certain thing. So definitely thank you for the question, and keep an eye out for simulators coming soon on the flight test store.
Yeah, and regarding a good kit to start with, we've recently put together a $175 everything you need to get started tiny trainer kit. So that comes with an MZ10, which is a little five channel Grotner transmitter. It comes with the tiny trainer, obviously, power pack A. Mm-hmm. Comes with a battery, comes with a charger. So it's much like the title suggests, it's everything you need to get started.
Yep.
And so that's, you know, if you're interested in building and starting out that way, not everybody is, but if you're interested in building, that's a great place to start.
Yeah, basically we're breaking the get started page into two categories, fixed wing and multi-rotors. Though we would recommend starting with fixed wing first, it's inevitable that there's some people out there that who are just going to want to go straight to multi-rotors. But just for an example, each fixed wing and multi-rotor, those take you to a separate page. And for example, fixed wing, we're going to break it down into three different categories of how you could get started in that portion of the hobby. And with fixed wing specifically, it's going to be the simulator, which we just mentioned. It'll be DIY, which that starter pack with the tiny trainer comes with a transmitter, comes with a battery, comes with everything you need to get in the air. That's just for the type of person who wants to DIY scratch build. They want to know how to build it so they know how to fix it. And then, believe it or not, we're actually going to be recommending a ready to fly as well, because there are some people in the world who aren't builders that don't. They just Austin's raising his hand. they just want to get in the air and experience. And I'm that way too, to a certain experience. I build out of necessity. I do enjoy it, but it's not my favorite part of the hobby. My favorite part is flying, by far. And some people are the other way around. But anyways, we're going to be offering a ready to fly packages. Right now, we actually just recently added the Nano QX, which for those of you who know us, that's like our go-to winter indoor quad. Nano QX is awesome. It's cheap. It's durable. Flies great. We're also going to be doing ready to fly airplanes in the near future too. So keep an eye out for that.
Yeah, we've actually done deals with Horizon Hobby and now Hobby Co. Lumineer, going to be carrying Lumineer batteries. I'm going to be carrying some Immersion RC products. So we're really trying to round out our store, and kind of our store philosophy is that we carry what we use. So yes, we have a distribution deal with Horizon Hobby now, but that doesn't mean we're going to carry every single Horizon Hobby product. That maybe means we'll carry four Horizon Hobby products, or five, or a dozen, or however many. but it's all going to be stuff that we use and we recommend, because that's really how we've built our store.
Mm-hmm.
Is we have just sold what we use.
Yep.
And it's worked out pretty good so far.
And we use them a lot. Yeah. I still have my Nano QX.
Yep, exactly.
So about to bust it out now that winter's coming.
Well, guys, we just want to thank you so much for your patience with the Flight Test Podcast. If you're still subscribed and you still downloaded and you were excited to listen as we were to do it, we just want to thank you for your patience. And, you know, we're sorry. We're sorry we didn't do a podcast for so long, and we're excited to get back in the saddle. And so who knows, maybe to make up for it, there'll be a few bonus podcasts here and there. But we want to thank you guys for listening. I'm Austin.
And I'm Alex. Thanks so much, guys, for your patience. We really appreciate it.
And have a great one, guys.
See you guys.